Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Eagles 360 at the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson, got a lot for you today. Eagles continuing their preparation for the Green Bay Packers. The weather turns cold on this Thursday in Philadelphia, just in time to get the Eagles acclimated to what we expect to be frigid conditions at Lambeau Field.
Yes, Dave, very, very cold conditions in a matchup that's going to have big playoff implications. Can the Eagles survive the cold? They're certainly hoping to do so against a very good red-hot Packers team that's won five of their last six games and coming off a 50-point performance on last Sunday night against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, great game ahead. Let's get you caught up with everything happening today with the Eagles. Bo Wolf out on the practice field. Our Eagles 360 update presented by Sports Authority.
Well, thanks, guys. Head coach Chip Kelly met with the media for the final time this week ahead of Sunday's big game in Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. Now, Chip Kelly knows that Aaron Rodgers has not turned the ball over very much in Lambeau Field. It's been 286 pass attempts since he's done that, 26 touchdowns over that time, going all the way back to December of 2012. But, of course, this Eagles defense is coming off a game in which they turned over the Carolina Panthers five times in one game. Something we'll have to give on Sunday. Chip Kelly knows the defense likes to get those turnovers.
It's good that you get a turnover, and the great part is turn it into points. And I think our guys are greedy from that standpoint that when we do get a turnover, can we turn it into something even more positive than that? You know, may have hurt us one time. I think one time we could have probably should have fell on a fumble, but we were trying to pick it up and run with it. So there's a fine line there of what you want to get accomplished. But the number one thing is you want to create the turnover.
Meanwhile, the Packers' defense ranks 30th in the league in rushing yards allowed per game. Perhaps this Eagles' running game can get untracked behind LeSean McCoy. Four of the main five offensive linemen back along that front five. Chip Kelly says he has been pleased with the performance of LeSean McCoy so far, but both he and McCoy say there's much more room to grow.
I think LeSean's played well. Done a really good job. He's a workhorse for us. He's played every game. You know, he's actually has more carries this year through nine games than he had last year through nine games. So, you know, he's out here every day. He practices every day. He has really, I think, when we can get him going in the games, we have got him going, and he's been outstanding. So I've been very pleased with LeSean this year.
I mean, the individual, I think goals and achievements are always second, you know. So we're winning games, and we're being a successful team. So that's all that really matters at the end of the day. I mean, sure, I would like it different. I think every player would like it different, but the main focus and the main thing that matters the most is that we're winning.
Of course, elsewhere offensively, rookie second-round pick Jordan Matthews coming off that huge game on Monday night. Seven catches for 136 yards, two touchdowns. Matthews said after the game he had such a big game he felt like Jeremy Maclin. Well, Jeremy Maclin talked about the rookie after practice.
I think it's a good starting point for him. I mean, he has a lot to learn, but I think he's definitely on the right path, and no, he can make plays. So I think, you know, when you combine all those things, he'll be all right.
That will do it for your 360 update presented by Sports Authority. We are back tomorrow, myself and Chris McPherson. But for now, enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks, Bo. Now to get a different perspective, Dave, let's bring in the voice of the Eagles.
Yeah, Merrill Reese obviously is excited about this game, as is everyone. And when we return to Eagles 360, we talk to the great one, Merrill Reese, in studio. Don't go anywhere.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle.
Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Welcome into our studio here at the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity studio. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, who is so pumped up for Eagles-Packers. I mean, how can you not be? It's got every element you can possibly want.
This is my favorite stadium in football.
Other than Lincoln Financial Field.
I love Lincoln Financial Field. But if you're a football fan, if you really love this game, cherish this game, this is to football people what Wrigley Field, what Fenway Park are to baseball people. It's just the shrine of the NFL.
I'm kind of past it. We've been out there enough. I'm on the football game, Merrill.
I'm on the football game, too.
But I know.
I don't care if I go out there 50 times or 60 times. Every time I go down on that field, I can hear John Facenda resonate about the frozen tundra. And I can look across the sideline and envision Vince Lombardi pacing the sideline, wearing that black wool cap and the thick glasses and barking out the orders at his troops. I just love the whole aura of Green Bay, of Lambeau Field.
And the fact that the temperatures are going to be way below freezing kind of adds to the aura.
It does.
And the mystique of this game. And you'll see players who are tough guys out there without the shirt sleeves, the long sleeve shirts. And it's different than last year, Merrill, for a lot of reasons. And primarily because we will see maybe the best quarterback in the league, the one who's leading the ratings right now, Aaron Rodgers. And I think we've talked about the defense, great test for where Bill Davis's group is.
You're saying you're making the bold statement right now that there's a big difference between Scott Tolzien and Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that it will be difficult for the Eagles defense, much more so than last year.
Absolutely. You are talking about the guy who's the best quarterback in the National Football League.
What do you do if you're
right
Bill
now?
Davis?
You rush him to pieces. Yeah, you have to put pressure. If Aaron Rodgers has time, he will pick you apart. I don't care how well your secondary is playing. If Aaron Rodgers has ample time, it's going to be a long day.
But he also creates time with his movement within the pocket, out of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, would you consider spying him like the Eagles did just a teeny bit on Monday night against Cam Newton?
They'll do a lot of different things. I have great confidence in the scheming ability of Bill Davis. He'll figure it out. I mean, he'll have ways that he will find ways to get people to Aaron Rodgers. And you're getting great pass rushing. You are getting an amazing season right now, turned in by Connor Barwin. I mean, you could talk about the other guys who are doing well, but Connor Barwin has taken over. He is playing at a Pro Bowl level right now. He is one of the most feared pass rushers in the NFL.
And what's interesting, Bill Davis saying that he's not being asked to rush the quarterback more. It's just on the back end, the coverage is tighter, and that's giving the front seven a little bit more time to get to the quarterback.
That's true. But you've watched the tapes of these games, you've watched the games, and then you break them down and you see them again and again. Some of the athletic things, the moves where Connor Barwin is flattening people or leaping over people, doing some of the things that are just exceptional, a lot of that is his athletic ability. Yes, the coverage is better, they're fundamentally sound, but Connor Barwin is just making plays.
Your opinion, Merrill, as we switch to the offensive side of the football, Mark Sanchez, start number one on Monday night. How do you do then? How much better does he have to be on Sunday?
Did a very good job. I don't know that he has to be better. He has to continue to avoid the rush. I thought he moved extremely well in the pocket. He has to look for his receivers and be on target. He found a Jordan Matthews a bunch of times, gave him a great game. I think that Jeremy Maclin will be more involved this week. Generally, when one receiver has a big game, he draws more attention the following week, and then the other guy has a chance to really go into a big game. And I think Jeremy Maclin's going to have a big game in Green Bay.
Your thoughts, Merrill, as the season gets colder, the weather colder, the run game becomes more important.
Mm-hmm.
Cranking up the run game, how do the Eagles do that?
They just block it. They just block it better. They create the holes for Shady McCoy, and Shady McCoy is a prime-time player.
It's the holes, not McCoy.
I think it's the holes more than McCoy. I think the fact that you're going to have that offensive four-fifths of the offensive line back for the second consecutive week, they will become more and more synchronized, and when there are cracks, you will see Shady explode.
I look for a lot of points scored in this game. Your thoughts?
I would think a lot of that depends on the weather. if it is that cold and if there is precipitation, it could be a low-scoring defensive struggle. If it's a perfect day for football and the field is runnable, where you can really motor through it, it could be a high-scoring game. But, you know, I think the Eagles' defense is getting to the point where they are lowering the opponent's outputs. I don't think Green Bay is going to put anything near 35 points on the board.
Well, we shall see, Merle. I can't wait for this to come. Sunday's
going to
be a huge
game. I can't either.
And we are all as excited as you are out there. Merle Reesby, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Once
Dave.
Again, for joining us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win, you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win, you win.
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
All season long, stop into your local Acme markets and purchase the Eagles item of the week. When you do, you'll receive a receipt code making you eligible for the Swoop In and Win sweepstakes. Just go to swoopinandwin.com and enter the code today. It's your chance to win Eagles tickets, Eagles Pro Shop and Acme gift cards, and Eagles autographed merchandise. Acme Markets, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
The Eagles and NRG are proud to bring you a collectible poster each and every Thursday during the month of November. Pick up the Philadelphia Daily News today and collect all four pieces thanks to NRG. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave and Chris here. Little fantasy football in the air. And there is a rookie on the Philadelphia Eagles who's certainly somebody to watch.
Yes, Jordan Matthews, a second-round pick at over 130 yards and two touchdowns in the Monday night win over Carolina. But is he someone you should put in your fantasy lineup each and every week? Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com and Bo Wolf discuss in this week's Fantasy Spin.
Welcome inside Fantasy Spin here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Bo Wolf. That's Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com. And the only two people who have a better connection than you and I, Joe, are Mark Sanchez and Jordan Matthews.
We're close. Really close.
We're very close. But those two guys, of course, best of buds, the number one connection throughout
two
the
bros.
Training camp here with the second team offense. Jordan Matthews gets promoted. Mark Sanchez comes in, throws his first touchdown to Jordan Matthews. His first start, seven catches, 136 yards for Jordan Matthews. Two touchdowns. Are you buying both of them moving forward? Is Jordan Matthews going to be the number one option in the passing game under Mark Sanchez?
I wouldn't go that far. Bo, last week I already told you I was buying Mark Sanchez as a fantasy-relevant quarterback. I'm really glad that worked out. I expect it to continue. Jordan Matthews, I would expect him to be somewhere in between where he was in the middle of the season and where he is now. Obviously, you can't expect a guy to have seven catches and two touchdowns every week. You have to take the under on that. And this week in particular against Green Bay, I think it's a very interesting matchup because when Chip Kelly drafted Jordan Matthews, he obviously wanted a guy he could put in the slot who has size to exploit mismatches against smaller corners and slower safeties. And this week, he gets a good slot corner in Casey Hayward of the Green Bay Packers, but somebody who Jordan Matthews is bigger than, so I would expect Jordan Matthews to be targeted in this game. I wouldn't anticipate seven catches and two touchdowns, but I think he's a wide receiver three this week and probably moving forward, especially in a PPR league.
All right, let's move around the NFC East, where the Giants defense gave up four touchdowns last week to Marshawn Lynch. The San Francisco 49ers are the one who get that giving defense this week. Do you want Frank Gore or do you want Carlos Hyde?
Well, I want Frank Gore, obviously. He had 20 carries. And it's about time because Frank Gore was obviously upset after the 49ers' latest loss a couple of weeks ago, saying we need to get back to doing what we do well, and that is running the football. So it was not a surprise to see Frank Gore come out and get 20 carries against the Saints this past week. Carlos Hyde had an impact on the game, but he actually had only had four carries. But I want to point this out. Three of those four carries came in overtime when he had fresh legs, and he gained 27 yards on those three carries. So if you think Carlos Hyde is going to be the back of choice for the 49ers down the stretch, and you think they're going to have a lead late in this game against the Giants, I wouldn't mind reaching Carlos Hyde as a flex this week. I think that's a viable strategy, but I think Gore is the better play, the safer play. I think he's an RB2 this week.
All right, let's talk about the big question in fantasy this week. Obviously, Ronnie Hillman, so productive in that Denver backfield. He went down with an injury. Do you want Monty Ball, who was so disappointing early in the season? Do you want C.J. Anderson, or do you throw a flyer at Juwan Thompson?
It's going to be Ball or Anderson for me. I think if I had to gamble, and I'm a gambler, I've said it a lot this year, I'd probably go with Monty Ball. One of the interesting things about Monty Ball coming off this injury, Bo, is he's cut weight in season. And we always hear that about running backs after the season or before a new season saying, oh, he's either gained 15 pounds or he's lost 15 pounds to try to either add bulk or gain some quickness. Monty Ball thought he was too slow earlier this year, quite frankly, and he decided to cut weight. He apparently looks great at practice, and I think the Broncos will be comfortable giving him a role. He's probably the guy I want long-term if Hillman misses more than a few weeks. C.J. Anderson, absolutely a viable reach this week as a flex play. He looked excellent last week, but I think Ball is the guy, if both were on the waiver wire, I would prioritize, and I would probably prefer to play Ball over Anderson this week if you had to force me to choose, but I put him right back-to-back in my rankings because, frankly, we haven't seen Ball in a couple weeks, and I'm not really sure what he's going to look like.
All right, well, we are closing in on the fantasy playoffs. Joe, if you're in position to be safely entering the playoffs, who's a player who you can buy low on now who will really help you come playoff time?
One guy that really stands out to me is Le'Veon Bell, the running back of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's for a couple reasons. He's coming off a couple down games. He's still heavily involved in the offense, especially as a pass catcher, but he has under 60 rushing yards over his last two games combined, and he has a bye coming up in week 12. So say the Le'Veon Bell owner in your league is 5-5 or 4-6 and really needs a couple wins to get in the playoffs. Point out to that owner that, oh, number one, he's had a slow last couple of weeks. Number two, the Steelers have a bye coming up in week 12. They might need some wins in order to make the playoffs. And you can buy Le'Veon Bell low if you can absorb that bye week in week 12. I think he's somebody who can really help your team. A really good schedule coming down the stretch. So I would make sure to get that trade done this week before the Steelers play Tennessee. It's a really nice matchup for Le'Veon Bell.
All right, you gave me the buy low. Give me the sell high.
I think it's pretty obvious. It's Larry Fitzgerald. And if you can capitalize on his name value and the fact that he's been on a really nice run, you got to recognize that Drew Stanton, it just isn't going to be as good for Larry Fitzgerald as Carson Palmer was. Drew Stanton is absolutely a capable backup quarterback. But this year, on 25 targets from guys not named Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald has 12 catches. On 40 targets from Carson Palmer, he's got 32 catches. So it's obvious that Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald have been a much better fit than Larry Fitzgerald and either Logan Thomas or, in this case, Drew Stanton. I would sell high on Larry Fitzgerald if I could.
The very best fantasy football insight comes from FantasyGuru.com. That's Joe Dolan, the managing editor of FantasyGuru.com. Follow him on Twitter at FG_Dolan and tune in next week for the Fantasy Spin.
Thanks very much, guys. Want to get a little closer look at the Green Bay Packers. So what do? We go out to Green Bay. Chris Mack, you had a chance to go behind enemy lines.
Yes, Mike Spofford, the senior writer for Packers.com, is going to explain to us the biggest difference in Aaron Rodgers' game. Ever since he made those relaxed comments, he's thrown 20 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. So when we come back in Eagles 360, we go behind enemy lines and find out the latest on the Green Bay Packers.
Hard work, 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 work Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Hello, Eagles fans. It's time to go behind enemy lines, and we welcome Mike Spofford, the senior writer for Packers.com. And Mike, is a little ironic that last year when the Eagles went to Lambeau Field, Nick Foles was coming off a 7-touchdown performance against the Raiders. The Packers didn't have their starting quarterback. Let's fast forward to now. The Eagles don't have their starting quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers, the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week, is coming off a 6-touchdown performance against the Bears.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that's worked out, and certainly the Packers remember that Philadelphia visit last year because not only was it the first game of that stretch that Rodgers didn't start, but then backup Seneca Wallace left the game after one series with an injury, and the Packers were down to their third-string quarterback in the first quarter. So, that one's in the rearview mirror, obviously, for the Packers, and their offense is going to look a little different this time.
They certainly will, Mike. Now, the Packers got off to a 1-2 start. Aaron Rodgers makes the comments that everyone needs to R-E-L-A-X. And ever since then, he's thrown 20 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions, and the Packers have only lost 1 game. What's been the biggest difference for the Packers since Rodgers made those comments?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is that the Packers, you know, tweaked their philosophy for this year maybe a little bit, in that I think they really wanted to be establish a power running game and you know, set up the pass and make things a little easier on Rodgers. And after the 19-7 loss to Detroit in week 3, which was really one of the worst offensive performances this team has had with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, they came out the following week at Chicago and it was throw, and to heck with the run, and we'll run the ball, you know, after we've established the passing game. And since really the offense has been turned back into Rodgers' hands, and as you say, the numbers speak for themselves in what he's been able to do.
Mike, how important is Eddie Lacy to the offense? I understand that they wanted to go to the power run game, but if he takes that, you know, added element, brings that added element to the offense, teams have to account for that, and Lacy can do a lot of damage in the screen game as well.
The biggest thing we've seen with him the last couple of games is the involvement in the passing game. He's had 2 long gains on screen passes each of the last 2 games. He's also, you know, against New Orleans, I know that was a loss for Green Bay, but he was catching checkdowns and ended up with over 100 yards receiving. And, you know, Lacy is, you know, he's kind of becoming more of that everything back rather than just the power running back. And they'll turn to the power. I mean, one thing the Packers do have with Lacy that maybe they haven't had before, you know, he got here is having that short yardage offense. I mean, when it's 3rd and 1, they don't have to necessarily put the ball in Rodgers' hands to convert. And there were a couple of years there where when it was 3rd and 1, it was like you almost knew the Packers were going to throw the ball. They weren't even going to try to run it. So he brings that element, and you can see sometimes, you know, when the defenses get worn out chasing the wide receivers around the field and chasing after Aaron Rodgers on the pass rush, then you do get some creases in the running game, and Lacy can break some 12, 15-yard runs.
Let's look at the Packers defense, and first we'll talk about Clay Matthews, you know, the move to inside linebacker, so to speak. Can you talk about what that's been doing for the defense, as well as the addition of Julius Peppers and the pressure that he's bringing from the outside?
Yeah, well, I'll speak on Peppers first. So there was a lot of skepticism in free agency about that move. You know, Peppers, 34 years old, does he have enough left in the tank, and what exactly are the Packers doing? That's such an out-of-character move for them to make a big splash in free agency. But Peppers has been everything, you know, the Packers could have hoped for. He was really solid against the run. last Sunday night against the Bears, and that's one area the Packers' defense is probably the most vulnerable still is against the run. But then, you know, in the pass rush, deflecting passes at the line of scrimmage, he's really been an impact player, you know, all around. He's got two strip sacks and recoveries this season, you know, getting that turnover all by himself. So as far as Matthews moving to the middle, you know, that was a surprise to everyone. That was an unscouted look they threw at the Bears. You know, the Bears kind of, you know, weren't really sure how to react to it, I don't think. Philadelphia obviously now will have seen that on film and be ready for it. They won't be surprised by it. I don't think it's necessarily going to change the way Chip Kelly and Mark Sanchez are going to, you know, run their offense. But Matthews gives the Packers a bigger body in the middle to try to fortify the run defense, but he also has the speed to chase plays from sideline to sideline. It's just a lot of different options that the defense has with its best player in Matthews, and that's what they're trying to maximize on.
So many great storylines to follow throughout the week. Mike Spofford, the senior writer for Packers.com, thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare. So can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
At Lincoln Financial, we believe you're the boss of your life, the chief life officer, in charge of providing for loved ones, growing your nest egg, and protecting what matters most. Ask your financial advisor how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future. Life, income, retirement, group benefits, and advice. Lincoln Financial, you're in charge.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Sports Authority is proud to be the official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. We're back. It's Eagles 360, and the Eagles defense has a huge challenge on Sunday in Green Bay against the Packers. They had a pretty good tune-up on Monday night against the Carolina Panthers. Connor Barwin, a dominating performance at the linebacker position. And in this week's progress report, Mike Quick and Ike Reese break it down, number 98, unstoppable.
All right, Mike, let's take a look here at what I consider, obviously, the defensive MVP, arguably the team MVP this year, Connor Barwin. Let's watch him here versus Carolina. Now, this guy is a multifaceted player. You watch him here versus the run. He does a nice job getting off, recognizes his run, sets the edge, allows his linebackers to come downhill and field.
There's really nowhere for the football to bounce. Look at all of the fits there in place and nowhere for the ball to go. So it's got to break to the outside, and Connor's there, as you said, to set the edge.
Yeah, great job by Connor extending, even gets in on the play. That's one thing I love about Connor. Yeah, his number one job there is to set the edge, but he does more. He takes it to the next step, gets off the block, gets in on the tackle. You watch him here. This is what they call transitioning from a speed rush to a power rush. He gets upfield, you know, showing this tackle he's going to be outside. Then he realizes, I'll transfer the power. The tackle is really off balance. He does a nice job of crushing him, pushing him back in the pocket of the quarterback, getting in on his sack along with Brandon Graham from the outside.
Look at all the bigs in the middle, along with the dimeback Nolan Carroll coming in the middle. There's really nowhere for Cam. There's tight coverage down the field, nowhere for Cam to go. So this pocket is going to collapse around him.
Yeah, look at Barwin. When you can just see the tackle here with his shoulders square to the sideline, he's in a vulnerable position. Connor realizes that. He has him on his heel.
Yep.
And like I said, he does a nice job of transitioning from speed to power there.
Brandon Graham coming off that edge, still doing a lot of damage coming off the edge.
We talked about Connor being used in a multiple ways. You've seen him the first couple plays lined up on the outside. Bill Davis decides to bring him here on the inside. He gives a rush look. They got, what, eight men up here in the box. He does a nice job of mush rushing. He's spying Cam Newton here. Yep. As soon as Cam decides he's going to leave the pocket, Connor's right there on him.
But look at the discipline of everybody. This is good team defense. Look at the spacing as they go up the field. There's really no gaps, no openings. And sometimes you're the sacrificial guy when you're in the middle. You're not going to get the stats, but it allows your team to play good team defense.
And the key thing for Connor here is to be patient. Don't get himself out of position. He's eyeing Cam Newton the whole time, and that's just speed. Listen, not many guys can run Cam Newton down from behind like that. That's a great job by Connor Barwin, displaying great effort there, chasing down Cam Newton. Now, we saw against the Houston Texans that Connor Barwin was beat on a little wheel route from Arian Foster. Carolina obviously saw that on film, and they tried to get it again on Connor Barwin. But heady player that he is, he recognizes it. Great job of covering Jericho Cotri, a wide receiver, no less, on an out-and-up route.
Well, in Carolina, they know they've got a formation where Connor has to take the wide receiver, Jericho Cotri, but he does an excellent job here, this time getting his hips turned a little quicker than last week, and perfect coverage. There's really nowhere to fit that football in.
Yeah, great job from Connor here, eyeing the receiver as well as keeping his eyes back there on the quarterback. I mean, Connor Barwin in the run game, he's awesome. In the pass game, he's spectacular. And then when you're talking about getting after the quarterback, there's been no one better than number 98 for this defense this year.
Great work, guys. We will have Connor Barwin in studio. You will have Connor Barwin in studio for Friday's show here on Eagles 360. Always an interesting fellow to talk about football in the city of Philadelphia, which you love so much.
Yes, got so much going both on and off the field, dominating on the field, but off the field has so much going on. We're going to delve into that in tomorrow's show.
Great. Eagles 360 comes your way on Friday at 5 o'clock, and let's take a look at the Eagles network lineup for the entire weekend. As you see, we've got shows covering the Eagles and the Packers right up until kickoff. Make sure you're with us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, our kickoff show right here from the NovaCare Complex and Lambeau Field. We've got the halftime report for you live and our postgame show presented by Rico, Chris McPherson, Greg Cosell, and Ike Reese, and a lot of live stuff from Lambeau.
Yes, indeed.
You feeling it?
I'm feeling great about this game.
I think it's a great game. Great litmus test for the Eagles and a setup, of course, for what's ahead down what should be a really exciting stretch run for the Philadelphia Eagles. We thank you for joining us on Eagles 360 today. Make sure you're with us tomorrow at 5 o'clock. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Eagles day.